Welcome to Equipping the Bride podcast. I'm your host, Jason DeMars, and thank you for listening in. It's my calling and my desire to teach the message, rightly dividing the word of truth, in order to equip the bride to live the very life of Christ by the Holy Ghost. You can direct any questions, prayer requests, or testimonies to me at jasondemars.com. Get free resources and materials shipped to your home as well. I pray you will be equipped by the word today. Good morning, everyone. May the Lord richly bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Jason DeMars, and we'll be looking at the topic, The Bible Commands Modesty. Amen. And so we're continuing. This is part two on our topic. We appreciate those listening in. Please send your greetings. I'd like to greet you personally as you get on the teaching video this morning. Just requesting continued prayer for the ministry, for the missions work. Be traveling to the Middle East in November. Sure appreciate your prayers, and we got a few trips between now and then as well. Also, our youth camp that I'm helping run, that Bethel Tabernacle does, that's coming up. So prayers are definitely appreciated. Also, a reminder, make sure to subscribe and click the little bell to get notified if you're listening to this video now. So let's get started with our subject. I want to look at Genesis 3:21 to start. We'll just do a little review and then continue on. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. So where it says coats of skins there, it's the Hebrew word kutanet. And I'm going to read from the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. It says the kutanet, the coat, where it says coats of skins, was the ordinary inner garment worn by the Jew of the day, in which he did the work of the day. It resembled the Roman tunic, corresponding most nearly to our long shirt, reaching below the knee always, and it was in case it was designed for dress occasions, reaching always to the ground. So want to emphasize there, when God made the clothing for man, he made it to cover the body. So Adam and Eve, they made themselves aprons. Basically, they made themselves loincloths. They covered just their private parts. And so God is showing, this is unacceptable. Just a moderate covering of your body in one spot is not acceptable. God then corrects the situation, and he shows that modest clothing is supposed to cover the body from the neck to below the knees, not revealing the breasts and not revealing the thigh. So again, from the neck to below the knees, whether you're sitting or standing, your attire should cover below the knees. Also, we find in Deuteronomy 22, verse 5, that God desires and commands a distinction in garments between the sexes. A woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. Brother Branham says this, and you Pentecostal women wouldn't let your girls put on them little old vulgar-looking clothes and get out on the street. Then talk about juvenile delinquency. Not only do they do it, but Mammy, you do it too. Oh, you say, I don't wear them shorts, I believe they call it, and halter necks. I don't wear them, I wear slacks. The Bible said that a woman that'll put on a garment that pertains to a man, it's an abomination in the sight of God. That's what the Bible said. In today's day and age and culture of the message, I think what issues you might be seeing now is that though sisters wear a skirt or a dress, sometimes it's so form-fitting, or sometimes it is so short that when they sit down, it pulls up over the knees, or if they're moving at all, walking, or teenage girls playing volleyball or something. Many things are revealed that shouldn't be revealed like that. And people miss the point that clothes are supposed to be modest. In 1 Timothy 2, 9, the Apostle Paul makes that clear, that a woman should wear a modest long dress that would be characterized by shamefacedness and sobriety. And so we're just young people and different ones, even many sisters who are older than that, they're just pushing the envelope, wearing skirts that are above the knee. And it's not modest, it's not scriptural at all to wear a skirt above the knee. You say, so-and-so does it, so-and-so does it. Our model is not so-and-so and so-and-so, it's the Bible. So that's key, and that's critical for us to understand. Remember, our model is the Bible. A modest skirt always covers the knee. If it doesn't, when you're sitting down, then get rid of it. At one time, in his Christian society, it would have been unthinkable, and it was unthinkable, for a woman to wear pants. So let's talk a little bit about this origin. What is the origin of women wearing pants in our modern society? Well, it came from feminist women. Women declaring and working to declare their independence from men, and that they do not need their husbands or their fathers to be the head of the home. So what is the origin of pants for women? It was rejecting the God-ordained authority of man. Now, we're not talking about misused and abusive authority of man, but the God-given leadership of man to lead with love and by example. So let's look at this a little bit. In the early 1900s, homosexual fashion designers began to make pants for women. And these things this was pushed through magazines and photography and models that were put forward in front of the American people. And then that laid the groundwork, and then World War I came, and all of a sudden you're seeing women going to the workplace because men are overseas fighting. And here they say a woman should wear pants at the workplace. But the debate continued on. Even up into the 1960s, there was a cultural debate, should women wear blue jeans? But in the 1960s, these fashion designers began making blue jeans for women. People will say, well, get with the times. Culture changes, times change. Yes, that's true. But the distinction between the sexes do not, even though you see many pushing You can be a woman when you want to be, and you can be a man when you want to be. You can choose your gender however you want. Such nonsense. You can't. You're either biologically a man or biologically a woman. A woman in the general attire of pants is wearing man's clothes. A feminine article of clothing is not pants. It's a dress or a skirt, and it needs to be modest. A manly article of clothes is pants. These things are just common sense and common decency. Unfortunately, we don't have common sense and common decency anymore, so it needs to be taught, and that's why we're teaching it now. Modesty and decency are required at the workplace, and it's considered normal. We had times when I was a manager that we had to speak with our employees at the bank and say, you can't dress like this and like this because it's not modest. What about when the Word of God asks us to dress with modesty and follow certain standards? Are we going to rebel against it, or are we going to say, okay, God knows best, I submit my heart to Him? All right. We spoke about makeup before. We read from the little book called Strange Scriptures to the Western Mind. And it says, painting does not appear to have been by any means universal among the Hebrews. References to it are few, and in each instance it seems to be unworthy of a woman of high character. Thus, Jezebel put her eyes in painting, 2 Kings 9:30. Jeremiah says of the harlot city, thou rentest thy face with painting, Jeremiah 4:30. And Ezekiel again makes it a characteristic of a harlot, Ezekiel 23:40. So again, it's another thing. What is the motive of the heart? We even see amongst message believers that our women are starting to wear a small amount of makeup. They put on cover-up. Brother Branham speaks about that. Why are we putting on cover-up? Brother Branham says in the sermon Wedding Supper, 1956, one fellow was telling me this afternoon, I don't mean this for any harm and or don't mean it for a joke. After the message last night, a poor sister come to him said, you know what? She said, I've been using pancake makeup for a long time to hide pimples on my face, but said, when that preacher got through last night, I went and washed my face. That's right. God bless you, sister. You're not far from the kingdom. Yes, brother, get back to the old hewing line. Why are we compromising? Why are we choosing little by little? That's how the devil works. Little by little, he plants this seed, then this seed. Oh, let's put on a little bit of, let's lengthen our lashes and use some mascara. And let's put on a little bit of a cover-up. It's a mistake. It's a mistake. We're going in the wrong direction. Let's get cleaned up. Why? Why? Why are we going this direction? The Bible connects the use of makeup with idolatry and immorality. Wearing makeup is an immodest thing that draws the attention to outward beauty instead of the inner character of the heart. Why do women wear makeup? Examine this. Is it for the sake of showing character? Look what Brother Branham says. Listen, my sisters, I ain't saying this for jokes because I don't believe in joking in the pulpit, but there was only one woman in the Bible ever painted her face, and you don't paint your face to meet God, you paint your face to meet man. That's right. And only one woman ever painted her face, and that was Jezebel. That's right. That's exactly right. Listen, you know what God did to her? He fed her to the dogs. It's an immodest thing. The origins of makeup, it dates back to Egypt. Worn by queens, pagan priestesses to denote social rank, and it filtered down, and went to the average person in society. In Christian society through history, it was considered a sinful thing. Christian women would not wear makeup. But then you fast forward to the 20th century, the invention of movies and moving pictures, and we see Hollywood becomes the greatest promoter of makeup, and the makeup industry begins in the early 1900s using Hollywood stars to promote their products. In the 20th century, a little less than halfway through the 20th century, makeup and immodest clothing became acceptable for denominational Christians. But again, let's go back to the Bible. Let's go back to the Word of God. Let's not follow culture, but let's follow God. All right, let's look at what this Thomas Manton, a Puritan from the 17th century, I believe. He writes about this. He says, "Garments were given to cover nakedness and the deformity that was introduced by sin. Therefore the apostle saith, let the woman adorn themselves in modest apparel. The leaving the breast naked and whole or in part is a transgression of this rule. They uncover their nakedness, which they should veil and hide, especially in God's presence. Yet usually women come hither with a shameless impudence into the presence of God, men, and angels. This is a practice that neither suits with modesty nor conveniency. Nothing can be alleged for it but reasons of pride and wantonness. It feeds your own pride and provokes lust in others. You would think they were wicked women that should offer others poison to drink. They do that which is worse. They lay a snare for the soul. They uncover that which should be covered. Christians should be far from allowing sin in themselves or provoking it in others." Why, if we know this message, we've been taught this message, why are we seeing sisters dress in a way that's revealing? The minute they move, it's revealing the breasts. The minute they sit, it's revealing the legs. Or they're wearing slits that go up the side of their leg. Even coming to church that way, it's pride, is what it is. It's pride, and as Thomas Manton said, it's shameless impudence. It's pride and wantonness. It feeds your own pride. And what he says is it provokes lust in others. What is happening? Why the compromise? Let's get back to the presence of the Lord. Let's get back to listening to the message. Let's get back to having convictions and following through the convictions. Not allowing this, a little bit of this, and a little bit of that. What you allow, in part, your children will go to excess in. Stop wearing clothes that are immodest. Sisters, stop wearing skirts and dresses that go above the knee. Stop wearing pancake makeup or cover-up, as we call it today. The prophet spoke against it. Hollywood glorifies and emphasizes outward beauty and destroys the soul. Our society emphasizes outward beauty. It emphasizes wearing makeup. It emphasizes wearing tight, revealing clothes, but it destroys the soul. God points to the inward character, to the heart, and to the beauty of holiness. So the heart should be holy with a godly character, and the outward should express that. Is modern fashion your absolute, or is the Word of God your absolute? Who are you letting shape your wardrobe and your outward appearance? Are you letting Hollywood pushing the envelope of what's acceptable? Or are you letting God? Again, when the devil came in to bring deception upon the Christian people, he didn't do it by just offering the end game. In 1900, he didn't offer bikinis and yoga pants and a huge amount of makeup. He offered just a little bit of compromise and step by step corrupted the women of the world. That's what he will do to women of that are following the message. And men, it's your job to step up and be men and lead with love and grace, but set a standard and expect it be followed. Again, is your outward appearance, is it feeding pride and immorality? Or is it expressing a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price? 1 Peter 3:3-4, whose adorning let it not be of the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. Any of those things can be done. That's not the issue. That's not what the focus of the adorning should be, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Dress yourself with a meek and quiet spirit, then let your outward adorning reflect this inward adorning. All right. So I wanted to get to hair, and I'm going to spend the last 7 minutes here speaking about that. 1 Corinthians 11, I'm going to read 4-7, verse 10, and then 13-16. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered, dishonors her head. For that is even all one, as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought to not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But a woman have a long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such customs, neither the churches of God. So it appears when Paul begins writing this that he's saying a woman should have a veil covering her head, similar to what the Muslims do in the Middle East, not a full hijab, but a scarf covering all the hair and most of the face. That's what it looks like he is saying, but as he goes on, he clarifies what the covering is, and the covering is long uncut hair for a woman. And a man should be uncovered, which means he should have short hair. A woman's hair is given her as a veil. So what is a woman's veil? It's her long, uncut hair. If she cuts her hair, she dishonors her husband. Cutting the hair means putting scissors to it at all. We're not to even trim it. If she dishonors her husband, her hair should be shaven. If a woman has long hair, it is her glory. And Paul says, we have no other custom, not in the churches of God. In other words, the churches in all the world are following the same teaching. So people commonly object and say, this is only a cultural issue, and it is not for today. Four points showing that this is not a cultural issue. Paul references the headship of man. This is not a cultural issue. It's an eternal truth that God put in place when he created man. Paul states this should be done because of the angels. There's no cultural boundary to angels. 3, Paul states that the churches of God have only one custom. That is, the churches throughout the world have this custom. There's not one custom in Macedonia, another in Asia, another in Israel. There's one custom or practice for the church. It doesn't vary by culture. 4, the Roman Empire spanned many different cultures during Paul's time. He did not single out any as being accepted from this natural law. Her hair, 1 Corinthians 11:15, her hair is given her for a covering. In the time of Paul's writing, there were 2 reasons a woman would cut her hair. 1, if her husband died and she was in mourning, and the next would be if it was done forcibly as a punishment for prostitution. According to the Bible, it's a shameful thing for a woman to cut her hair. And if she does it, it's the same as though she were dishonoring her head, her husband. All right, so again, people come back and say, but a woman should wear a veil. It's not talking about her hair. It is. Paul clarifies everything that he's saying by saying her hair is given her for a veil. So that keeps these things close to Scripture. So, sisters, brothers, if you want to be found in obedience to what the prophet has spoken, brothers, this is not speaking to you, of course. Brothers, get rid of your shorts. Cut your hair. Stop having long bangs in your face. It's a big sissified thing. Get rid of your makeup, sisters. Get rid of your pants, sisters. Get rid of your tight, revealing clothes. Stop cutting your hair. Stop wearing a little bit of makeup. Stop wearing skirts that when you sit down or when you move at all, they go above your knee. It's unscriptural. Most of all, did you pray about these things? Did you search the scriptures? Did you search the scriptures and search the message about how you're dressing and how you're behaving? Thank you so much for listening in. I love you. May the Lord richly bless you. Thank you for listening to Equipping the Bride podcast. New episodes are posted every Tuesday and Friday. If you have any questions, prayer requests, or testimonies, please contact me at jasondemars.com. Free books and tracts are available there, and shipping is free as well. May the Lord richly bless you.